You're reading the Word of God, that you have a big man of God to read it for you. So I'm going to invite Ben to come up and read the scriptures for us. There's two lots of scripture. The first one, yeah, I'll get you. Sorry, it's okay. The first one is Luke 15, verses 11 to 32, which is the story of the prodigal son, which is on page 1049 of the Church Bibles. And then shortly after, we were reading the first four verses of Psalm 27, which is on page 557. And I'm just going to get a mic for you. Okay. I've got to set it a little bit higher because you're not quite as short as my wife. Oh, the giraffe's not playing.
Hello? Can you hear me? Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young man got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, There was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What is going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. His father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. On Psalm 27, 1 to 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Ben. Really read with passion. Let me just feel like one of those stage clearers now. Let me just clear the stage, and gives me more room to run around and rant and rave, you understand. So I just need to. I just want you to know that I'm not standing up here because I have all the answers, or I have actually attained to all that I might speak of this morning. But I stand up here to share with you where I am with all of that, and to encourage you to walk with me in that. You know, you can kind of visualize, actually, around the table, actually, the sun actually has been building up for a while, thinking, actually, I'm kind of fed up with being at home, actually. I think I've learned all I could possibly learn from my dad. I know what I'm doing. I don't want to be under his command anymore. I want my freedom. I want my own identity. I think I know best. I want what's mine, and I want it now. And so he sits at the table and he plucks up the courage and he asks his dad for his inheritance. And so his dad dishes out his inheritance, not only to him, but notice also to the other son. And the man wanders off, and he spends his money on wild living, it says. Spends it on prostitutes, on glamorous food, and living as a rich man. And eventually, he runs out of money. And he even becomes hungry enough that he would be prepared to eat the pig food that he'd been employed to feed. He was that hungry. And there in itself comes the point where he recognizes something. And it also shows us that actually we can run away from the heart of God. We can try to fix our problems with the world's solutions. We cannot bring it to prayer. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that the more that we run away from God, the less that we spend time with God, the less that we pray to God, the more that we look to the world for its solutions and its answers. And the more that we're prepared to eat what the world has to offer. But it won't satisfy you. It won't satisfy me. And the pig food wouldn't satisfy the prodigal son. He knew what he needed to do. It must be a desperate thing to get to a point where you're prepared to eat pig food. I call it a famous quote, but a quote by G.K. Chesterton says this: when men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything. The son had got so desperate that he would have taken any solution to get him through life. He filled his life with what he thought was the right solution, to the point where he got to the lowest of the low and was prepared to eat pig food. We can be like that, can't we? We can run so far from God that we don't run to God in problems, and we look for the world for solutions. And we get so desperate that anything that sounds good, we're prepared to eat. And we go for that. You notice in Psalm 27 and verse 1 to 4, let me just read that again. This psalm wipes me off my feet every time I read it. I just can't do anything but feel completely on my face. The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break against me, even then I will be confident. For one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon his beauty, that I might seek him in his temple. Brothers and sisters, we have the attention of the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. The scripture says that we are in the throne room of God, and that we can dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. That we, spiritually speaking, are in the throne room of God all the time. And we have a choice that we either face God and commune with him, or we're merely just another person in the room, not willing to engage with him. We have his attention. We have been put there because of the blood of Christ. And God desires our company that much that he sent his only son. And so the son, at the point of getting to this lowest of the low and just about to eat the kind of pig food, I can't even visualize eating pig food. I have that kind of image of pig swill that over here. I don't think it's the same over there. I think it was carob pods or something like that. But just visualize. Okay, I'm not dead actually, I'm alive. So the son gets to the point where he's prepared to eat that pig food, that pig swill.
And he suddenly realizes, it dawns on him actually, that actually the best place for him was the very place that he tried to escape all along. He discovered that actually it would be better for him to go home and live as a servant in his father's household. He didn't really mind whether he got reinstated as the son. He just wanted to go home because he knew that the only place and was where he's going to find the answers to all his life. The very thing that he tried to escape is the very thing that was his life, the presence of his father. You see that? And actually the very thing that we spend all the time trying to escape is the very thing that we need, the presence of the Father. And the thing is that what you don't read is that the Father has been preparing for his Son to come back for a long time. God has been preparing for you to come back for a long time. It's not by accident. You know, he had the ring ready, he had the fattened calf ready, he had the glorious coat ready to restore his Son back to wholeness. God had the plan to sacrifice Christ on the cross at the beginning of the world because he longed for you to come home. And it's always longed for you to come home. And this is the story of the prodigal son. And it's the story of the fact that we need to be in the heart of the Father. There is nothing else. There's no solution out in the world. It can't offer you anything. And the only way that you can face the world is by running to the Father. And that's not hiding in the Father. That's not facing life. It's acknowledging that actually it is only the strength of the Father that gets you through everything. You can't face it. There's no other solution. You know, I'm a man stood here that I've had several occasions in my life where I've not had the answer and not been able to fix it. Not had the words, and no solution in the world could fix what I was facing at that time. So early on, this scripture in the Psalms came to me. Because that was the only place that I could run to. There was nothing left. And it was the only solution to run to the Father. Brothers and sisters, we need to engage with the heart of God. We need to get serious about prayer. And that's not about all the asks and all the wants. It's about you spending time with your Father. And sometimes that's saying absolutely nothing. And sometimes it's speaking. If we don't truly engage, if you look at David, you think, well, David, a man of God who committed adultery, who sent people to the front line to be killed. And yet the scriptures claim that he was a man after God's own heart. So he's not calling you to be perfect. He's saying that when you're in trouble, I'm where you should run to. And you know what? When you're here, I'd like you to stay and not leave. Because the father of the prodigal son went out every day and looked for his son. And he's crying in his heart, come home to me. And you know, every day God looks down on this earth and he looks at you and says, come home to me. Come home to me. And you say that, I know God, but he's saying, come home to me. There's something more than what we've got. There are so many depths to intimacy with God that we haven't discovered. We can always get closer. You always have to keep on coming home. You've got to keep on coming home until the day of Christ. Keep on coming home. Get closer, get closer, get closer. Discover all that God's got for you. The other son. The other son had his inheritance. He was given it at the same time as the one who ran away. And yet he says, well, I've been here all this time, but yet you're giving my brother the fattened calf, and you've restored him. And I've been here all the time, and I've served you. And God says, it's always been here for you. But you've chosen not to. You've chosen not to spend time with me. The great presence of God, the deep intimacy that God wants to have with you, is always here and always has been. And it is quite possible for us to sit in church and be like the second son and think that actually I'm here and that's what it's all about. Well, it's not. We need to get closer. There is so much more to discover about the closeness of God and the heart of God that we have not discovered. If you think you're close to God, then think again, because there is so much to discover about him. So much more that we can't. I couldn't even explain it all, but there is so much more to discover. And let me just sum up. Okay. Beyond the list of prayers, I'm just going to read it. I was going to ad-lib, but I'm not going to. Beyond the list of prayers becomes much more than answers, though we need them. It becomes much more than questions, but we need to ask them. It simply comes down to wanting to be close to God. At the end of the day, it's not about gifts, but God gives them. It's not about having an anointed ministry. It's not about calling, but God enables them both. It is simply, it's about intimacy with God. That's it. That's what the whole of the gospel was about. That's what Jesus was about, to bring us and reconcile us to Christ. You know, there's a scripture, isn't there, in the Old Testament, I think it's in the New as well, but first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. The most important thing is the thing that Mary chose, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Everything else flows out of that. You read in Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit and how we should seek them, but it also says, slap in the middle of the famous passage about love, that if we don't have love, we have nothing. We need to be close to God. Everything has to flow from God. Seek the presence of God first, and then all the gifts will be added unto you. Not the other way round. We don't need to be a church full of gifts without the presence of God. We need to be a church full of the presence of God, and the gifts flow out of that love relationship. They will come as we seek to be closer, but we must seek him first. And finally, the last statement. If it's not already obvious, it's a two-way conversation. It's a two-way relationship. And God ushers you into his presence because he's intently interested in what you've got to say to him. And he desires to hear your words just as much as you should desire to hear his. He desires to hear your beating heart just as much as you should desire to beat his. He wants you to be there. He needs you to be there. Everything has been set in place for you to be in there. And all he does every day is come closer. Come to me.